meet lightning and thunder, I'm facing it too. I'll travel from now on with you. I'm burning my bridges behind me. No one will find me. What do I care? With you to remind me you're there. And if I find I've made a blunder, then what can I do? Start crying from now on with you.
The greatest songs by the greatest artists? We do. On SwingStreetRadio.org. Nothing but the best music. Swing Street Radio, where the big band swing.
Born to dance?
No.
Born to prance?
Mm-mm.
Born to sing?
Uh-uh.
You must be born to swing.
Yeah. Ordinary gal, and I was born to swing. Ooh, I'm the beep-a-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-d but I'll stay here on this avenue where I was born to swing. Some folks got money, some folks got philosophy, but I've got good old swing, baby, and that's good enough for me. I've got song on my lips and rhythm in my hips. I can't go wrong having a fling, 'cause I was born to swing. Thank you. Uncle Jimmy Frog. And all the gals on Park Avenue have a highbrow song to sing. Well, I'll stay here on the avenue where I was born to swing. Some folks got money, some folks got for lots of fee. But I've got good old swing, baby, and that's good enough for me. With the song on my lips and the rhythm in my hips, well, I can go on have my thing, cause I was born to swing.
The city by the Golden Gate. This is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. It's time for Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's Murder at Midnight and The House Where Death Lived. But first, let's enjoy some adventures with Topper. The adventures of Topper will instantly be familiar to connoisseurs of early television who will remember Leo G. Carroll's portrayal of Cosmo Topper, a character from the Throne Smith novel whose life was complicated by two friendly ghosts. About a decade before the TV show hit full stride, Topper turned up in June of 1945 as an NBC summer replacement series sponsored by Post Toasties. As in the television version, the Kirbys were Cosmo's private ghosts. No one could see or hear them but Topper. He always seemed to be talking to himself because the ghost created much the same embarrassing situations that Francis the Talking Mule caused for Donald O'Connor and friends. Roland Young, who played the character in the movies, was the radio Topper, with Paul Mann and Francis Chaney originating the roles of George and Marion. Mrs. Topper was played by Hope Emerson. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear and the adventures of Topper in Raja from September of 1945. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bose, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense and the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Topper. Oh, Topper.
Oh, Topper, darling. We're back.
Oh, dear. Here we go again. The Adventures of Topper, starring Roland Young. The Adventures of Topper is a new comedy series based on Thorne Smith's hilarious bestseller. And now let's meet Topper.
How do you do? My name is Cosmo Topper. I probably look as if I'm having trouble keeping my spirits up. On the contrary, my trouble is keeping down with my spirits. Spirits I'm referring to, of course, are George and Mary and Kirby, a pair of dizzy ghosts who are driving me crazy. Unfortunately, my wife has a few ideas on that subject, too. And the other morning...
Cosmo. Cosmo, wake up. Breakfast is almost ready.
Kiss me. Just one more kiss, Marion.
Cosmo, you wake up this instant.
Huh? Oh, Malvina. Oh, please, let me sleep just 5 minutes more.
What for?
I've a little unfinished business to attend to.
By no chance were you dreaming of me.
By no chance. I was dreaming about my work. I was staring at figures all night.
Yes, I could guess that. Cosmo Topper, you're the only man who can sleep and pop his eyes at the same time.
Believe me, Belvina, I was working all night.
Cosmo, I heard you in your sleep trying to kiss that blonde hussy. Nice work.
Yes, nice work if you can get it. Belvina, doesn't breakfast have an unusually strong smell this morning?
Cosmo, that smell is you. It's a garland of garlic I hung around your neck during the night.
Garlic? Malvina, you often threatened to roast me alive, but I never thought you'd try it.
Oh, don't be silly. And leave that garland where it is. It'll make you a normal person. With this garlic, you'll be on the right track again.
With this garlic, I'll have the train to myself.
You don't understand. Garlic keeps away the evil spirits. And aren't you always complaining that you're haunted by spirits?
Malvina, that's an old superstition about vampires. Besides, Marion Kirby is no vampire. Well, a vampire is someone who grabs you in the dark, clutches you, and... Oh, dear, what am I saying?
Well, we'll put an end to this spirit business once and for all. Every time you do something wrong, you blame it on a couple of ghosts you know. Well, if you are haunted, Raja, the famous mystic, will find them.
My trouble is not finding them, but losing them.
That's exactly why I've made an appointment with the Raja. As soon as you're dressed, we're going right down for a personal interview.
Malvina, you're not serious about this Raja and all that spiritualist humbug. He's probably nothing but an old faker.
Why, that's not true at all. Every night he enters the spirit world.
Probably comes back loaded.
Cosmo, I'll hear no more about it. For months you've been driving me to distraction with all your talk about spirits. Now we'll see whether you were deceiving me or not.
Malvina, listen to me.
Another word. Just get dressed and come right down.
Spiritualist medium. Humbug. Chiseling charlatan. Malvina, is that you? Funny, I heard the door open. Faker couldn't recognize a spirit if it came up and whispered in his ear.
Hello, Topper.
Hiya, Topper.
George, Marion, speak of the devil and...
Cosmo Topper, just because we weren't accepted into heaven is no reason to fix our next destination.
You needn't be so sensitive, Marion. I was only...
Hey, what do I smell around here?
Oh, what is that smell?
Oh, that's me.
Well, what's happened to you?
No wonder. Look, he's wearing a wreath of garlic.
Why don't you know I'm wearing this especially for you?
Well, if it's for me, I prefer Chanel number 5.
Now, what's the gag, Topper?
No gag. My wife's trying to keep evil spirits away from me.
Have you been keeping bad company again?
Yes, you too. My wife is ready to go to any extremes to make us part company.
Well, we won't let her get away with that.
I'm afraid of, but she's really serious this time. She even wants me to see Roger, the spirit medium. Absurd, isn't it?
Why, Topsy, that's a wonderful idea.
Man, don't tell me you believe in all this rubbish.
Oh, Topper, she's just like all the other women. Always running to fortune tellers, getting a palm read.
It's fantastic. A real spirit believing in all this. Oh, man, there's nothing to these spiritualists at all. What in the world could you want of the Raja?
Well, I'm getting pretty tired hanging around the earth as a low-plane spirit. Maybe the Raja can contact St. Peter for us.
Anyway, you two will ever get through the pearly gates with a Jimmy. Look, Marion, I refuse to go to the Raja with Malvina, and I refuse to go with you. I'm going to stay right here in bed, or I'll know why.
Topsy, dear, if you don't come with us now, I'll scream for Malvina.
All right, I know why.
You
You are listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Well, here we are at the Rogers home. Cozy looking place.
Cozy? Looks like a palace.
That must be pretty profitable business, contacting spirits.
Now we know how he gets his spirits. The customers walk in, he skins them alive.
Come on, boys, let's go in.
Oh, I have to remember, you must remain invisible and no tricks.
Hey, get a load of all these doors in the hall, will you?
Wonder which one we enter.
Certainly very confusing. Topsy, what are all these signs on these doors?
Those are the signs of the zodiac. Let me see. Or it's Libra, the scales, Scorpio, Leo, the lion.
This must be the Raja's room. Taurus, the bull.
Oh, let's go into this room with the half moon.
That's not the right room.
Look at all the heavy black velvet hangings on the walls.
Yeah, this place gives me the creeps.
Certainly muffles the noise. You could probably commit a murder here. No one would hear it.
Look, let me out of here.
George, don't be ridiculous. Remember, you're a ghost. What are you afraid of?
Ghosts? They got me.
Stop acting like a baby. This is fun.
I wouldn't stay here for all the tea in China.
You wish to see the Roger?
Looks like the Chinese will do without tea this winter.
Quiet, George. Yes, I wish to see the Roger.
My name is Princess Arlene. What is your name?
Oh, not.
Is that your first or second name?
My name is Cosmo Topper.
Ah, yes. The Roger is waiting for you. You wish to come with me?
I wish to come with you.
Very well. Follow me.
Topsy, dear, she said follow. Don't trip over her.
Say, Topper. I wonder if that luscious babe is a mind reader.
Obviously not, George. He hasn't slapped your face yet.
Through this door, please. Follow me.
Easy, boys, one at a time. There's the Roger. George, you ever see such clothes or such a colorful fez?
I don't remember the clothes, but the fez is familiar.
Oh, stop your bad puns and be quiet, you two.
Oh, most exalted Roger. The man you have been awaiting has arrived. This is Cosmo Topper, the banker.
The banker? Ah, yes. Won't you make a deposit, Mr. won't you deposit yourself, Mr. Topper? Your wife has told me all about you. Oh, and why did you come without Mrs. Topper?
Well, the spirit moved me.
The spirit, yes. Ah, yes, Mr. Topper. That's why you are here. It is within my power to help you. I bring you the wisdom of the East, the spiritual knowledge of the West, the law of the North.
This guy is strictly from Dixie.
What did you say, Mr. Topper?
I said I feel like a pixie.
Princess Arlene, you may go now. When I want you, I will clap my hands twice.
Yes, my master.
Hey, we're losing the main attraction.
Let us proceed, Mr. Topper. First, I must learn how your mind is attuned to the spirit world by feeling the bumps on your head.
Did you call, Master?
I didn't summon you.
Don't look at me. My hands are in my pocket.
George, stop clapping. This is no striptease.
You may go, Princess.
Oh, heck.
Now, Mr. Topper, back to the bumps on your head. You may not realize it, but these bumps foretell a man's future. This indicates a man's career. This bump indicates marriage.
I thought the bumps came after marriage.
Now, as I run my fingers through your hair, I want you to relax. Now, relax.
Oh, it feels good.
Now, as I'm exploring your head, what are you thinking of, Mr. Topper?
That is the best scalp treatment I've ever had.
Now I go to the right. Now to the left. Now to the right again.
Oh, do it a little more on the left, will you?
Topsy, ask him about us.
Topper's getting a massage. I want a manicure.
George! You've called me, Master?
No, Princess, I didn't. But I believe our subject is getting slightly out of hand.
I assure you, Mr. Roger.
You may go, Princess.
Georgie, why don't you just lasso her?
Mr. Topper, now that we made contact with your thought waves, We must gaze into this crystal ball and search for the spirits.
Man, you're not so clever.
Gaze into the crystal ball. Soon the spirit will be closer.
Closer. Closer.
She's in my lap now.
Describe this spirit who has made contact with you.
Well, she's a blue-eyed blonde, about 5'2", well-built. Well, very well-built. Pretty.
Pretty as the Princess Arling.
Well, no, not quite.
Ouch!
My ankle. Oh, she's much more beautiful than that.
Look closely into the crystal ball. Concentrate and you will see her. Now we'll move on to the other spirit. Are you with me?
No, I'm still concentrating on Marion.
All this malarkey, I'm bored.
Oh, dear.
Did you call, Master?
Mr. Topper, would you please do me one favor? Just one slight favor. Will you sit on your hand? You may go, Princess.
And don't come back!
He can't do this to me. I'll fix his wagon.
Mr. Topper, these distractions have been very upsetting. However, with $100 bill, you can soothe my nerves.
Yes, and who'll soothe my nerves? Sir Roger, I've enough of this hocus-pocus. What I want...
Hocus-pocus? Are you referring to my spiritual powers as a bag of tricks?
No. Let's call it a bag of wind, shall we?
Enough of this mockery. I will demonstrate the great powers of the East. I will show you the mystery of levitation. Observe. I am rising. Higher!
He's a phony. Look at the wires attached to his belt.
I am still rising!
I'll get a rise out of you. Watch this.
Higher! Help! I'm really floating! I hit the ceiling!
What do you expect for your prices?
We haven't had so much fun since I flew a kite.
George, come down!
Help! I'm floating out of the room! Oh, let me down! Help!
Bye, Roger. Don't forget to write. Come on, Marion. We can't remain in the Roger's room any longer.
But Topsy, where's George? He hasn't come back yet.
Oh, he's still floating around with the Roger, probably.
Yeah, it's me. He's floating around with that princess. I don't see her anywhere.
Oh, come on, Marion.
Roger! Oh, Roger! Where are you hiding?
Marion, Melvina's here. We're trapped.
Oh, Roger! Which door do I
use? See, she made the same mistake I did, Topsy.
And what are we going to do? Melvina will be right in. She expects to find the Roger and will find me instead.
Well, she's been cheated before. Besides, Topsy, why can't she find the Roger here now? Oh, Topper, you'd make a wonderful Roger.
Mary, if you think that I...
darling, all you have to do is wear the Roger's cloak and his turban and she'll never recognize
my
you.
My face? What about my face?
I think it's cute. But you better hide it behind the fan.
Why do I get talked into these things?
There. Darling. Oh, darling, it's amazing how you look in the Roger's odds and ends.
Yes, but I look a little odd where it ends.
Roger! Oh, there you are. Oh, I had a terrible time finding you.
Well...
there should be someone to guide you in here.
Well, my guiding spirit is invisible at the moment.
Oh, Roger, I must apologize for not bringing my husband with me. He ran out on me this morning, and by now it's probably far away.
Not far enough.
Oh, Roger, I don't understand his actions. We've always been so close.
Well, don't worry. You're probably closer than you think.
Topsy, you're in the driver's seat. Give her the works.
What was that you said, Roger?
Why, I just said I'm ready to go to work on you.
Oh, thank you, Roger. You know, in some ways, you remind me of my husband.
I do.
Oh, I suppose it's only natural. I see a bit of Cosmo in everyone. His nose on one person, his eyes on another, and his ears on someone else.
Sounds like he's going to pieces.
You know, you even sound like him.
I do? Yes. Let us explore the mysteries of the East.
But, Roger, the spirits I want you to trace are right here in Pleasantville. They're a mad couple who were killed in an automobile accident. George Kirby was a worthless creature, and Marion, with
him. I think we should respect the dead. In this case, it would be much safer.
You're darn tootin', brother.
Oh, you have no idea what an impression Marion made on poor Cosmo. Why, even now, after her death, he imagines she sits on his lap. Now, how can I cure him of that?
Why, fight fire with fire. If he imagines she sits on his lap, let her sit. 10, 12 hours at a time. That'll do it.
Is that enough?
Should be enough for any man.
And do you really think that would cure him?
Neither cure him or kill him.
But while all this is going on, what should I do?
Why don't you visit your mother for 2 or 3 months?
You know, Roger, that's strange. My husband's been suggesting that for years. Somehow you do remind me of my husband.
It is just your imagination.
No. No, there's something about you, Roger. Why do you fan yourself so? I don't feel warm.
It's getting hotter all the time.
Tuffy, she's catching on. Distract her.
Yes, of course. Mrs. Topper, will you gaze into this crystal ball? Don't take your eyes off the crystal ball. Keep looking at the crystal ball.
Why?
Pretty, isn't it?
Tuffy, you've got to do better than that.
Roger, if I look into this crystal ball, could you locate my husband for me? There's nothing I like better than coming face to face with him now.
Would you mind looking at your side of the crystal? I feel much safer with the table between us. Shall we go on?
Roger, I think you're about through.
Oh, no. This is only the beginning.
Imposter! Get out of my clothes.
Yes,
I'll
this
have
is the beginning of the end.
Heavens, Roger, poor Top.
Oh, I thought there was something very strange about this. Take the fan away from your face, Cosmo Topper.
Oh, Mr. Topper. My little friend is up to his tricks again.
Cosmo, you and I will have words when we get home.
Oh, Vinny, you know I'll never get a chance to use mine.
Mrs. Topper, don't be hasty. Remember, your husband says he's a victim of unbridled spirits. You must bring him back here at the stroke of 12. And I'll take the spirits out of his hide.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Fidgeting, Cosmo. The Roger will be ready for us in a moment. It's almost 12 o'clock now.
I can stop it from ever reaching 12. Melvina, would you please pace the clock?
What, like this?
Perfect. Now. Must have been an 8-day clock.
Don't be a child, Cosmo. Now, this is for your own good. Just imagine, for only $100, the Roger will drive away the spirits of George and Marion.
Wouldn't you take 50 and just drive George away?
Cosmo! Oh, here comes Princess Arling. There's a girl with an interesting background.
Not a bad foreground, either.
The Roger awaits you, Mr. Topper. Will you follow me?
Ah, those magic words.
Oh, run along, Cosmo. Well, this will make a new man of you. This is your big opportunity.
Mr. Topper, are you coming with me?
I wouldn't miss this opportunity for the world.
I'll be waiting right here.
Here we are, Mr. Topper. You will sit right here on this small chair.
Won't I be crowding you?
I go now.
Say, where is Roger?
Fear not. He will take care of you in a minute.
Wait. Don't leave me alone here. Don't go. Why does that only work with George? Now what?
Don't be frightened, Toffee. It's only us.
Sure, we came to help you. Here we are. Now look, Topper, we're right with you. See, no matter what happens,
you are.
We'll be right behind you.
Fine, that's where you usually are when I take the licking.
Oh, I wish that guy would stop kicking that gong around.
Quiet, here comes the Roger.
Mr. Topper. This is the moment I have been anxiously awaiting. You have no idea with what pleasure I anticipate working on you.
Pardon me, but I think your fangs are showing. Mr. Roger, wouldn't we be saving a lot of trouble if I had just introduced you to my spirits?
Oh, no, we don't contact spirits that way, Mr. Topper. First, I must prepare my subject. Then I put him under my psychic influence. And then we strike sympathetic thought waves.
Oh, you fellows always do it the hard way.
Mr. Topper, have you no desire to see an astral body?
I'd be delighted to see the princess again.
I see you taking a passing fancy to the princess.
Topper wouldn't pass up anything that fancy.
I suppose you would.
Now I'm going to put you under my psychic power. Look in my eyes. You are going to sleep. Sleep. Sleep.
Wait.
What for?
I never go to sleep without reading first.
Sleep. Sleep. Sleep.
Just a moment.
What is it now?
In case this works, will you set the alarm for 8 o'clock?
Mr. Topper, you must concentrate. Look into my eyes. Now. That's it. Don't let your eyes leave mine. Look.
George, do you think he can really hypnotize Topper?
Well, that old phony couldn't hypnotize anybody.
As you look into my eyes, your will begins to leave you. Your thoughts become subject to mine. You're coming under my spell. Do you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Soon you'll be completely in my power. I will command, and you will obey.
Yes, Master.
George, do you really think Topper's hypnotized?
Well, let's stick a pin in him, find out.
Oh, no. No, I've got a better idea. I'll kiss him. That ought to do it. Well,
no reaction.
He's either hypnotized or dead.
You are completely under my spell. I will prove this to you. Listen carefully and repeat after me. I am a fool. I am a big fool. Do you follow me?
Yes, Master.
Very well. Then say, I am going to pay you $1,000. Now repeat that.
I am a fool, a big fool. I'm going to pay you $1,000.
Yes, yes, I've destroyed your will. You will stay this way until I snap my fingers. You are in my power. I can do whatever I wish with you.
It sounds like he's going to foreclose the mortgage.
Mock me, will you? Scoff at my mystic powers. Play tricks on me. Flirt with the princess, will you?
Here comes trouble.
That gives me an idea. You think you have a way with women, do you? So you are a wolf, eh?
That's my topic.
Then howl like a wolf. Get down on all fours and howl like a wolf. You're quite a Casanova, Mr. Topper. Let's see if you were always so smooth with the ladies. We will take you back to your first date. Remember, this is your first date. Now, how old are you, Mr. Topper?
4.
No. No, Mr. Topper, let's set your age at 12.
Honey, do you think we better step in now?
No, George, this is getting interesting.
You are now 12 years old. I imagine you as a bookworm, your head buried in a book, month after month, studying the facts of life.
Yes, I always read Esquire.
Now you're on a date. I suppose you borrowed your father's car.
No, Master, we ran out of gas on the front porch.
Now you kiss her.
Yes, Master, I kiss her.
Now you kiss her again.
No, I can't.
Why not?
I'm still scraping the bubble gum off my face.
Tell me, great lover. I suppose she thrilled when you put your arm around her?
No, Master, she shivered at my touch.
She shivered at your touch?
Yes, I forgot to put down the ice cream cone.
Enough of this nonsense. Now for your punishment. Look at me, Mr. Topper. What do you dislike most in the world?
Crooning.
So you dislike crooning, eh? Well, Mr. Topper, croon! Croon like Bing Crosby.
When the blue of the night, boo-boo, meets the gold of the day, boo-boo.
Oh, this is awful. We've got to do something now.
That's right, darling. The punishment he's taking.
He's taking? The punishment we're taking? I'm going to snap my fingers right now.
Oh, what? What was I doing?
Why, the spell is broken. I don't understand this.
Topsy, he hypnotized you.
Brother, did you talk?
You took unfair advantage of me, Roger. Well, it's time my spirit dealt with you.
Your spirit? Do you think I believe in that nonsense? Spit it, spit it, bah!
I fear you're in for a rude awakening. In just a moment, I'll ask my spirit to materialize. You will come face to face with them.
That's a joke. Why, if you can do that, I would kiss this business goodbye. I would even kiss your wife goodbye.
George, Mary, do your stuff. There they are. There they are. Materialized right before your eyes. Now what?
From September of 1945, it's been The Adventures of Topper with Raja. In a moment, we'll experience Murder at Midnight and The House Where Death Lived as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Murder at Midnight was a series produced by KFI Los Angeles and syndicated beginning in 1946. It featured tales of the supernatural and macabre by radio's top writers and performers. The stories were wild tales of death and the uncanny, as the program tried to do what Inner Sanctum did so memorably on the networks. Charles Paul contributed the creepy organ music, the director was Anton M. Leder, and the sinister voice narrator, whose voice dripped "Murder at Midnight," was none other than Raymond Morgan, a former Long Island minister who had given up the cloth for the excitement of radio. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear and Murder at Midnight, The House Where Death Lived, from December of 1946. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Murder at Midnight.
It's not just an ordinary cane, my dear.
Alec.
It's a sword cane, see? Calhoun used it when he killed his wife, right where you're standing.
Alec, you kill Sanders.
Exactly.
And now you're going to kill me.
Yes.
No, no, no. Keep away from me.
I'm sorry.
Keep away. Help.
My dear.
Midnight, the witching hour when the night is darkest, our fears the strongest, and our strength at its lowest ebb. Midnight, when the graves gape open and death strikes. How? You'll learn the answer in just a minute in The House Where Death Lived. And now, Murder at Midnight. Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre. Our story is A Ghostly Nightmare by one of radio's best-known mystery writers, Robert Newman. Its title, The House Where Death Lived. A large rambling house on top of a hill. A house whose windows are either shuttered or broken. A rusty iron fence surrounds it, and its grounds are waste and uncared for. A car grinds slowly up the hill, stops before the main gate, and two men get out. One of them is gray-haired but vigorous. The other wears a chauffeur's uniform. They push open the heavy gate, start up the gravel path.
Quite a joint.
You could hardly expect it to be a show place after being empty for more than 10 years.
It's open.
Yes. Well, I'm glad we didn't have to force it. All right, Sanders. You can go back to the car and wait for me. I should be out in about a half an hour or so.
You mean you're going in alone?
Why, yes. Somehow I don't think you're exactly suited by temperament for psychic research.
Okay, Doc. I'll be waiting for you back in the car.
Right. Now, let's see. A suppose the best place to start would be...
Good evening.
What? Oh, I'm awfully sorry. I hope I haven't made a mistake. This is the Calhoun house, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
This is very embarrassing. I was down to see the trustees just this morning. They gave me permission to go through the place and told me that there was no one living here, that no one had lived here for many years.
As you can see, that's not quite true. Not that it matters. I lead a rather lonely life, and I'm very glad you came. I'd be more than happy to show you around.
Oh, you're very kind. My name is Goff, Dr. Alexander Goff.
Dr. Goff.
For the past few years, I've been specializing in psychic research.
Oh, yes.
You've heard of me?
I'm sorry, no. But I do know that scientists, specialists in psychical research, have been interested in the house for many years. There have been several books written about it.
I read about it in the series of studies that Kinsey did. He said it was one of the most fertile fields for manifestations he'd ever come across. It has a long history of apparitions and hauntings.
That's very true. And now, would you like to look around?
I'd like that very much.
Very well. I imagine the best place to begin is with the cellar. This way.
The cellar. That's where Mrs. Calhoun was killed, wasn't it?
Yes. Huh? I keep the door locked now for that and for several other reasons.
May I?
No, wait. Wait, don't try to go down. Have you a match?
Why, yes. There aren't any stairs.
Exactly. That's how Mrs. Calhoun was killed. The stairs had become rotten and Calhoun took them out, put in that ladder. Mrs. Calhoun didn't know it, and she tried to go down, fell, and broke her neck.
But she wasn't just killed. She was murdered, wasn't she?
Well, that's hard to say. I don't think even Calhoun could tell you whether it was deliberate or not. For a long time, people didn't even suspect what had happened. They thought that she'd run away, disappeared. However, after she was killed, Calhoun buried her down there in the cellar. You see, over there, near that big flagstone.
Oh, I see. Well, after that, there was something about a gardener, wasn't there?
Yes, Burroughs. He had helped Calhoun take out the stairs. Considerably later, he was working in the cellar and found some bones, and he put two and two together and
went to the police.
No, he did a lot better than that, from his own point of view. Shall we go back into the parlor?
Oh, yes, of course.
I'll just shut this door again. There. Burroughs began blackmailing Calhoun. Calhoun paid for a while, and then one day he called Burroughs in here, into the parlor. He was sitting over there at that desk. He had his cane with him. The cane that's on the desk there now. You can look at it if you like.
Well, thank you. I would like to look at it.
Twist the handle and pull on it.
A sword cane?
Yes. He killed Burroughs right here in this room. That stain on the carpet, there is his blood. This time he didn't even try to get away with it. He called in the police and he was tried and sent to an institution.
Yes, but that's what I don't understand. If Calhoun had committed two murders, why wasn't he sent to jail? Or hanged?
Because no one knew whether he was sane or not. As a matter of fact, I don't think Calhoun knew himself. You see, when they asked him why he had killed his wife and Burroughs, he said he had to. That he'd been told to.
Told to? By whom?
Well, he wasn't sure. By voices. He said they told him that they lived here in this house before him, that they had killed, and that he would have to kill too.
Excellent. Excellent. Just what I've been looking for, what I've hoped for. A house with a tradition of hauntings, where each generation is affected by that tradition and adds to it. What's the matter?
They've come for me. They're weighing me down, dragging
what?
Me back.
They? Who? You're ill. Here, let me help you.
No, it's no use. You can't pick me up. It's too much on my hands. On my head.
Where is he?
He was there, right there on the floor. I tried to pick him up and put him on the couch, but I couldn't lift him. Now he's he's gone.
Well, now, look, Doc, if he fell down, if he was as weak as you said it... Hey, wait a minute. Hey, what did he look like?
Well, he was quite old, about 70, and very tall and thin. He had white hair and a white goatee.
Holy smokes.
What's the matter?
Well, I was waiting outside for you. The guy that lives just down the hill came by, and we kind of talked a little.
Yes?
I told him you were inside here, and he described Calhoun to me, the guy that used to live here. And the old gent you say you spoke to sounds just like him.
But it couldn't have been. Calhoun is still in an institution.
No, he's not. At least not exactly. That's how this guy happened to talk about it. You see, he just read in the paper that Calhoun had died yesterday.
Sanders.
Yeah?
That was Calhoun's ghost.
Oh, now, look,
Doc. It was, I tell you. It has to be. This is what I've been looking for years. An apparition that manifests itself without a medium or any apparatus. It's exactly what I need for the last chapter of my book. And I'm going to stay here until he appears again. Calhoun? Calhoun? Where are you? Why don't you come back? I'm waiting for you. Oh, it's no use. 2 days now and not a sign of him. Maybe Sanders was right. Maybe I did imagine the whole thing. Either that...
Wait a minute. He didn't die here. He died at the asylum. He'd lived here all his life, committed 2 murders here. Perhaps the aura, the forces here, were strong enough to evoke him once, but not to bring him back again. His wife and the gardener, they did die here. If I could establish contact, I might be able to evoke them. Or else if someone else died here, someone I knew and someone that knew me.
Calhoun? Is that right? Is that what I have to do? What? Who's there?
Me, Doc. Bandit.
Oh, just a second.
Oh, what a night. Blowing like all get-out.
What do you want, Sanders?
Well, the missus thought she was getting a little worried about you. Thought you might be running low on food.
Oh, no, I still have plenty. I haven't been eating much.
Any luck?
No, he hasn't materialized again, but I'm sure he will. I know he will.
If someone else died here.
Huh?
Someone you knew. And someone that knew you.
Yes.
What's the matter, Doc? Hey, why are you staring at me that way? Doc!
Hmm? I'm sorry, Sanders. Sanders, I was just thinking that if you stayed here with me, it might help.
But I thought you said I was all wrong for this kind of stuff. You know I don't believe in ghosts, anything like that.
Well, I did say that, Sanders, but... Oh, this place is different. This is such a powerful, fertile field for psychic manifestations that I think if you did stay... We could cure your skepticism permanently.
Yeah? How?
Well, this is such a perfect night for an evocation. Listen.
I don't hear anything. Just a storm.
Listen hard. There it is again. It's down in the cellar.
Where's that?
It's back there.
Where?
Go ahead, run. You're quicker than I am, Sanders. Run, hurry.
Okay, but I still don't hear anything.
A man with an obsession in a haunted house. A man with a corpse on his hands as the clock strikes 12 for...
Murder at Midnight.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear.
And now, to continue with our story. It's just a moment later, and Dr. Goff is still standing by the open cellar door. Lighting a candle, he peers down to where Sanders' body lies huddled on the flagstones below.
Sanders? Sanders? Better make sure. Sure. This ladder holds. Dead. Neck broken in two places. I'm sorry, Sanders. Very sorry. But science is a hard mistress. I've been working on my book for 7 years. This is the first chance I've had to make detailed and objective observations on a specific set of phenomena. And when Calhoun didn't materialize again, I'm sure you understand. The only problem now is the police. They're apt to be very uncompromising about something like this. If there were only some way that I could...
I know.
The car. It's quite late and the storm blowing. There's not likely to be anyone around. Oh, come on, Sanders. You and I are going to take a little trip. We're almost there, Sanders. Just a little farther. Here we are. Now, let's see. Well, you turned the car around before you came in, so it's headed downhill. Oh, splendid. Very considerate. Now, open the door and put you in. Up. Just make sure you don't fall sideways. But you stay behind the wheel. That's it. Is there anything else? Anything I've forgotten? I don't think so. Just take the brake off. And shut the door. No telling how far she'll go, especially with the streets so bumpy. I only hope that she'll go far enough to pick up plenty of speed so that when she does... She's swinging. Swinging to the right. Yeah? Sanders! Where are you? It's been 4 or 5 days now. Why haven't you come back? Haven't you wanted to? Haven't you been able to find a way? This is where you died, remember? Or down here in the cellar. Are you down there? Sanders? Are you down there? Down there. Not anywhere. What's that? Yes? Well, who's that? Who's there? What do you want, Jean? Just a second.
Alec. Oh, I'm so glad to see you, dear.
I asked you, what do you want? Why did you come here?
Why? It's been almost a week now since you've been home. Have you any idea how worried I've been? You didn't even phone me after Sanders was killed.
I'm sorry. I just never thought of phoning you. I had other things on my mind.
How did it happen, Alec?
You read the verdict of the inquest. He probably fell asleep at the wheel waiting for me. The brakes slipped, the car rolled down the hill, and crash.
Poor Sanders. Somehow I can't help feeling...
Feeling what?
I don't know. Perhaps it's this horrible old house. Everything about it is just plain evil. Oh, Alec, why don't you give it all up?
Give what up?
This obsession of yours. You started writing a book.
doing psychical research to prove that there were no such things as apparitions or ghosts.
Suppose I found out that I was wrong.
What?
Yes, what would you say if I told you that I'd already seen one apparition here and that I was expecting to see another one?
Alec, oh no.
Oh, yes, gee. The first evening I came here, I saw Calhoun. I talked to him. He showed me around the house. And later on, I discovered that he had died the day before. I waited for him to come back again, but he never did. And I finally realized why. He couldn't come back because he hadn't died here. He died at the sanitarium. But now, I'm waiting for Sanders to come back.
Sanders? But he didn't die here either. He died?
Yes, Jean.
I don't like it here, Alec. I'm afraid. I'm going.
No, Jean. Don't go. You can help me.
Huh?
Come on in here. Into the parlor.
But Alec.
Come on, Jean. Later I'll tell you a very interesting story about this room, about something that happened here a long time ago.
But I... All right, Alec.
That's a good girl. You know, Jean, I just realized I've been very stupid. Calhoun couldn't come back again because he didn't die here. Sanders did die here, but he wasn't buried here. And now I'm beginning to think that a spirit can only materialize in the place where its body is.
But what's that got to do with me?
Dear, does anyone know that you came here tonight?
Why, no, but...
Good.
What do you mean? And what are you doing with that cane?
You remember I said I was going to tell you a story about something that had happened here in this room? Well, this cane played an important part in it. You see, it's not just an ordinary cane. This is a sword cane. It's what Calhoun used when he killed his wife, right where you're standing.
Alec, you killed Sanders.
Exactly.
And now you're going to kill me.
Yes, dear. I am going to kill you. And I'm going to bury you right here, down in the cellar where Calhoun buried his wife. Then at least you will be able to come back. No, don't try and run away. You won't do any good. You see, I locked the door.
No. Keep away from me.
I'm sorry.
Keep away.
My
help!
Dear!
Help!
Now, smooth up gravel a little. She's coming well. There. That ought to do it.
Very nice, Doctor. Very nice indeed. You didn't do quite as neat a job as I did, but you did pretty...
Calhoun.
Yes, Doctor.
You're dead. But you did come back.
Yes, I came back to tell you how grateful I am to you.
Grateful? For what?
For having, shall we say, relieved me. You see, there's a curse on this house. When I was alive and lived here, even before I killed my wife and Burroughs, I saw the ghosts of those who had died before I was born. It was they who made me kill, because once I did kill, they were free.
I don't understand.
Don't you? As long as this house stands, someone must haunt it. Until I died, it was haunted by those whom I had killed. When I died, it became my job. I thought it'd be years before I could find someone to take my place, and then you came along.
You mean...
Yes, Doctor, yes, the curse, the evil that was spawned here has been passed on to you. Now it's haunted by those whom you killed, and I am free and can rest in peace. But you must stay here and live with the evil you created until you die.
No, I won't stay.
Yes, you will, Doctor. Oh, I didn't believe it either. I thought I could leave whenever I wanted to. But I found that I couldn't. I had to stay until they took me away. When you try to leave, you'll find out why.
But I won't stay. I tell you, I won't. Neither you nor they can make me stay. Nothing can make me stay.
No.
What's more, you're right about this place. It is evil. But I'm not going to let that evil continue. It must be destroyed, along with every stick and stone in this house.
And just how do you propose to do that?
I'll show you. Fire. This can of kerosene.
Oh,
that
no.
Pile of lumber there.
It won't do any good. Take my word for it.
No, you watch.
There! The whole cellar, the whole house will go now.
Yes, yes, Doctor, but you won't go.
I won't. You watch me.
But you can't go without me, Doc.
What?
Don't you remember? You carried me out to the car. You've got to take me with you.
Sanders.
Yes, Doctor, your chauffeur.
Let go of me, Sanders. Let go. I can't take you with me.
And you've got to take me too, Allie.
No, no.
You see, now you know why I couldn't go either.
What
dragged me back and weighed me down.
Please.
Now you know why you're going to have to stay here.
I won't stay. I tell you, I won't. Not even if I have to take both Sanders and Jean with me.
I'm afraid that won't do any good, Doctor. You see, the ladder isn't very strong.
Oh. Broke. Broke. I'm trapped here.
Goodbye, Doctor. If you don't mind, I'll leave you now for good.
Help! Help! Somebody!
The flames roar higher and higher as Dr. Goff screams and staggers backward.
Far away, a bell starts tolling for
murder at midnight.
Remember to be with us again when death stretches out his bony hand and the clocks strike 12 for
murder at midnight.
The part of Dr. Goff was played by Barry Kroger, with music by Charles Paul. Murder at Midnight was directed by Anton M. Leder.
From December of 1946, it's been Murder at Midnight and The House Where Death Lived. That's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week at this time, and why not invite a friend to listen, and together enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, I miss you so. Dio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so. Thank you.
KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.
Beautiful girl, you're a gorgeous mixture of all that lies under those big blue skies. My heart cries, beautiful girl, you're a dazzling eyeful, beautiful girl. I could never trifle if I had you, you'd be my dream come true. There may be blondes and brunettes that are hard to resist. You surpass them like a queen. You've got those lips that were meant to be kissed, and you're over sweet 16. Oh, beautiful girl, what a gorgeous creature, beautiful girl. Let me call the preacher, what can I do but give my heart to you? If I could write like poets do, I'd send my sonnets all to you, beautiful girl of my desire. But when I search for words of praise, I'm like a schoolboy in a daze. When you come my way, this is all that I can say. heart just cries, beautiful girl. You're a dazzling Eiffel, beautiful girl. I could never trifle if I had you. You'd be my dream come true. There may be blondes and brunettes that are hard to resist. You surpass them like a queen. You've got those lips that were meant to be kissed, and you're over sweet 16. Oh, beautiful girl, what a gorgeous creature, beautiful girl. Let me call the preacher, what can I do but give my heart to you, beautiful girl.
All your favorite artists from the big band era are here. From Gene Krupa to Benny Carter, from Ray Noble to Connie Haynes on Swing Street Radio, where the big band swing.
So they declare, and olive oil is good upon a salad, also on the hair. Though we know that castor oil always cures the pain, banana oil is something new. So just let me explain, when he tells you I adore you, that's banana oil. And she answers I'll die for you, that's banana oil. He says, when I buy the stone, what a handsome ring you'll own. But the only ring she gets is on the telephone.
You're the first boy ever kissed me.
That's banana oil. And I wonder if you miss me. More banana oil. He says, I'll do right by Nell. Mother thinks that's simply swell. But Dad is wise and he knows right well. That's banana oil. Now Standard Oil is always advertising, we know that's so. They claim their oil is far more popular than any kind we know. But there is still another oil, seems to rank supreme. It's what we call banana oil. I'll tell you what I mean. When a girl says I'm just 20, that's banana oil. And of money Dad has plenty, that's banana oil. I wonder what's become of maids used to wear their hair in braids. When you took them dancing, ordered only lemonade.
Yes, my hair is naturally curly.
That's banana oil.
And I've got to be home early.
More banana oil. Who says girls hate new clothes to wear? Who says older men won't stare? And who says our moms don't bob their hair? That's banana oil. When he says, dear, you look charming, that's banana oil. And she says, I just love farming, more banana oil. Now here's one thing, I'll tell you what, big oil men I've met a lot, but the only oil those birds have got is just banana oil.
Thank you.
dreams don't mean a thing on the street of dreams. Dreams broken in two can be made like new on the street of dreams. Gold, silver, and gold, all you can hold is in a moonbeam. Long as love is sure on the street of dreams.